You're listening to Read On Air, your one-stop shop for book news, reviews and author interviews. It wasn't so long ago that comedian Limmy was on the show, giving us an exclusive preview of his new book of short stories, That's Your Lot. And here he is talking to Robert Kirkwood about his first collection of Daft Wee Stories.
Available commercially now in audio and in print is Daft Wee Stories by Limmy.
He woke up, face down in the dirt of the dusty Nevada desert. He got to his feet and brought his horns to his eyes to shield him against the midday sun. He couldn't remember passing out. He couldn't remember a thing.
Hello, my name's Brian Lemond, otherwise known as Limmy, and I'm the writer of Daft Wee Stories.
No sounds of insects, no cars in the distance, no birds in the sky, nothing. He didn't know how he got there or how to get out, but he did know that one thing. He was in trouble. Suddenly, he was hit in the face with a wet teabag.
You can guess with the title. It's got lots of Daft Wee Stories in it. It's about 70 stories, about 1,000 words each on average. Some are like tiny wee stories, just about one line long. And some are quite big ones. But I lots of Daft Wee Stories, believe it or not.
Now, I've just produced you doing the audio version, and I noticed a lot of the stories are very dark. Is it more of a horror book than a comedy book?
Well, I kind of like sort of horror comedy. I don't mean like in a, what do you call it, you know, the kind of Shaun of the Dead or American Werewolf in London sense, but I do find dark things funny. I've got a kind of dark sense of humour, so I do like it when people are being kind of scared or horrified or something like that. No, in real life, just in story. So they're sort of like horror stories in it, but it's funny, when I wrote the stories, then I'm sort of ordering them, putting them in order in the book. There'll be one story that's that ends with somebody getting seriously hurt, and the next one, it ends with somebody getting seriously hurt, and another one where somebody gets seriously hurt. So I did notice there was a wee bit of a kind of habit I've got. I must be a bit of a sadist. But it's no full of people getting hurt. There's one or two where somebody doesn't get hurt. See if you can find it.
And a few people being hit by trains.
That's right. I think I had about maybe three or four stories where somebody got hit by a train. It isn't funny in real life, right? But I mean, in stories, I find it funny. But I had lots of people getting hit by trains, or like quite a lot of people getting hit by a bus. So I'd sort of chop up a wee bit, right, we'll have him get hit with a train. That's three people getting hit by a train. I'll have one getting hit by a bus. I'll have one, I don't know if I did actually find anything else. I think quite a lot are just either gone under trains or under buses.
Oh, that's really nice, said Janice, looking at the top. You going to get a bigger size or get something else? I might get something else, said Tracy. I've already got a top like it anyway. I don't know why I got it. Just think I fancied grabbing something. Janice's scalp began to tear open.
So who are your literary influences?
Well, the funny thing is I don't really have a lot, because I'm no, even though I've wrote this book, I'm not much of a reader myself. I think I only started reading, like after school, I was obviously reading in school, but it was about 10 years later till I actually picked up a book in my own accord. I actually went into a bookshop and bothered doing it, and I think it was Stephen King Needful Things, I think, I got, or I think it was like short stories after somebody, Stephen King. So after that, I just thought, well, I'll stick with him. And I just said, Stephen King. I don't know how much I'm influenced by him, but I really liked that, and just a few of the wee sort of classics and everything, you know, like 1984 and all the rest of it. But I don't know, I don't really feel influenced.
Because there's a vibe in the book that reminds me, not so much of the story, but of the mood of the story, by Stephen King, called The Moving Finger.
Aye, that's right. I remember you saying, it's funny, there's one story that's kind of like that. There's a guy that's in a toilet and something bad happens. And I have definitely read that story in the past, The Moving Finger. You know, the short story collection. It was in, I can't remember what, I think it was Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Nightmares and Dreamscapes, yeah.
Because I've definitely read the lot of that, but I couldn't remember it, you know, when I was writing it. I wasn't like that here. I think I'll just rip off Stephen King and there we go. Just slam it in and give him the credit. But, I mean, I love stuff like that, like kind of Twilight Zone stuff where just something happens. Just something happens and that's that's that. Not something strange. Because in The Moving Finger, I think it's... I think we were speaking before about it. You said it's this finger that just comes out of bath. In mine, there's something behind the tiles on the wall when he's on the toilet. So it's kind of similar in that, but I think I've seen other things to almost kind of defend myself. No, I mean, there's plenty of stories like that where something like that happens.
Do you feel you sometimes needed to put a joke at the end of some of the tales rather than just leave them as is?
I do like putting jokes at the end of stuff. I mean, people can watch, because I like Lemmy Show, people can watch Lemmy Show and go, but there aren't any jokes in Lemmy Show. Not even so much, like they could still find it funny, but there isn't a joke in it. There isn't much of, well, there is sort of punchlines in Lemmy Show and everything, but because I come from a comedy background, I want to try and be funny. Even if I'm trying to make a serious point, I like making a bit funny then, because I've still got Lemmy Show in my mind. If I was to put some kind of serious point or something like that in Lemmy Show and it just ended like that, you know, people would be going, it's rubbish, you have failed. This is meant to be a comedy show. You failed, that sketch failed. So I'm always trying to be a bit funny, but I have been reading lots of short stories since writing the book, and I've been noticing no Stephen King ones, these other ones that I've seen recommended and everything, and it's amazing, it's not amazing, but the way they end, they don't really, obviously they don't end with punchlines and things like that, like with horror stuff. That's all right when that ends, but seeing you've just got a story, it's just a kind of normal story, and it's thoughtful, and then it just ends. You know, I remember reading, I think, I only say who, you know, but I was reading one story, and it's that way that you get to the end of the story, you turn the page, oh, wait a minute, it's the next story now. You know, it's just like films where it's, boom, goes to black, and you're waiting for it to fade from black to the next scene. Now it's the credits. Hey, wait a minute. You know, you're like, don't tell me that's it. Not that they're disappointing, it's just that I'm no used to that sort of thing, you know, like these stories just ending with nothing.
And we talked about literary, but what are your comedy influences?
I'm not really sure. I like weird stuff. I like... there's a lot of kind of normal stuff that I like Laurel and Hardy and all that. It's funny, there's lots of things that I like if I've been asked this sort of thing. It's kind of like if somebody asks you with music and all, you feel obliged to give sort of interest and sort of replies, but in fact you kind of like really normal stuff like Harry Hill or something like that. You know, I like Harry Hill, but I'm not pure influenced by Harry Hill, but that's something that when it was on Harry Hill, I think it was the Harry Hill Show, I can't remember, but used to love that. I love things like that, a bit of Monty Python and like the day-to-day, all the old sort of Amando Iannucci influence stuff and all these sort of things. But I kind of like things that are not really supposed to be funny, stuff that's actually serious, but I find it funny, which is a bit like going back to getting hit by buses and trains that we're talking about. Know that I'm actually there at a train crash, gutting myself, but just dark stuff.
Thanks, said Tracy, as Janice turned to walk away. Oh, by the way, Janice turned back. What? Tracy took a step towards Janice, lowering her voice to a whisper. Your face fell off.
So did the Terry Gilliam animations in Monty Python have anything to do with your early Flash animations?
I loved all the wee animations like you get, and I loved the whole lot of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I liked that, but I also liked all the wee animations and his style and the kind of the sun or the moon or whatever it was, sort of jumping up and down and going down the stairs. And I loved them. There's one sketch called, Confuse a Cat. And I think this cat's got like depression or something like that, or it's just sort of lazy. It's sort of sitting about, not really doing much. And they get this sort of service out called Confuse a Cat, because they think, well, if you just confuse your cat, then it'll snap out of it. And then it's obviously this probably Terry Gilliam directed sort of thing, where it's almost like it's like kind of stop motion animation only with them, just doing all these different things and turning into seals and jumping about and then disappearing. And I love a lot of wee things like that.
So finally, why should somebody buy the print or the audio version of Daft Wee Stories?
Because we live in a very busy time. Hardly got a minute to pick up a book and read it for 3 weeks or something. This is ideal if you want to pick up your book or listen to audiobook. You just want to listen to one story at a time, and it only lasts for a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, and then you can get back to whatever it was you're doing. It's perfect for the Twitter generation, for the don't have a time type of people out there.
Ian held his spoon of tomato soup an inch from his mouth, motionless, as he stared out the cafe window with his jaw on the deck. Outside, at the other side of the road, was his ma. There she was. They weren't due to meet for lunch or anything. She had no idea he was in there, staring at her. If she did, he was quite sure she wouldn't be doing what she was doing.
Lemmy, reading from his book Daft Wee Stories, available in print and in audio wherever books or audiobooks are sold.
Thanks to Robert and Lemmy. As Robert says, Daft Wee Stories is available commercially, but Lemmy's latest collection, That's Your Lot, can be found in the RNIB library as TB701898. Just go to rniblibrary.com or call the Action Line on 0303 123 9999 and select option 5.